Well, I do apologize. Pastor Scott is up in Dickinson today. He is they're consecrating a new building at that church up there, and he is being a part of that service today. So I'm afraid you've got me, and I'll try to walk in his shoes a little bit today. But he and I have been in contact for quite a bit, three or four times this week about where we were going today. And today we talk a little bit about being content and how that can kind of lead us into being generous, once we are content with what we have. And he said to me, just share some of the things that you have visually seen that just screams contentment to you. And I have always had some incredible respect for my grandparents, both sets of my grandparents. And one of the stories that I had the privilege of hearing not too terribly long ago was from my father about some things from my grandpa and grandma's aunt. And that was a story. My father was born in the 30s, so he doesn't remember the Depression a great deal, but remembers World War II real well. But he does remember a few things about that Depression and talking about contentment. He says, well, it was just the way life was on their farmhouse on the prairie in southern Wisconsin. You had two lights. Two lights is all they had. They had a light in the kitchen and a light in the living room for the two-story home. But he said we were content with that. Because in those days and at that time of our lives, in the depression that we were facing, that was okay. We were doing the absolute best that we could. And he said, we were very, very blessed on our farm in the prairies of Wisconsin because we had the meat, we had our milk, we had our vegetables, we had a roof over our head. We had the roof that we needed on our head, over our heads to keep us, to shelter us. We also had the food for our nutrients. We were blessed. And not only were we blessed, but we could help each other out throughout the farming community of southern Wisconsin there in the prairies. By making sure that our neighbors had food and making sure that their neighbors had food. And my dad says, you know, I would go to the one room schoolhouse, and I never did fully understand. I mean, at the time I just kind of took his word for granted. But then now I kind of question exactly how this worked. But his walk to his schoolhouse was uphill both ways. And not only was it uphill both ways, but it was uphill both ways on the prairie. So I never fully understood that one. But nonetheless, there was a couple of guys that were in that classroom, and they were wearing my father's clothes. And my father finally said, okay, Mom, what's up with these guys wearing my clothes all the time? And she said, we are blessed, Bill. We have got so much good stuff compared to so many other people here during the war and here during the getting out of the Depression and getting out of the war. We are so blessed that we are able to share some of the things. And one of the things we can share are your clothes, Bill, because you've got plenty and they don't have any. And my dad said to me, he said, you know, they never really used the word contentment and being content. But my grandparents modeled that kind of thing because that's just the way it was in those days. The late 30s, the mid to late 30s and the early 40s. He says, that's just the way it was. And my folks never really said much about it. That's just the life that they led. He said at one point he was tasked with the job of going to fill the car so they could go to the family reunion. Now, they were getting ready to go to the family reunion. And in those days, he had two tanks on the farm. They had tank A and tank B. Now, tank B was for the fuel to go into their automobile. And tank A was for the tractor. Because they used the fuel in tank A to fill up the tractor so they could do their work, and then the tank B was for their vehicle for use. Well, the tank B was completely dry. So my dad, being the guy that he thought he was being, he says, I'm going to back this car up and use tank A. And my dad came running out and he says, Bill, what are you doing? He says, well, Dad, there's no gas in tank B. I need to use tank A. And my grandfather looked at him and said, no, Bill, that is specifically for our tractor. If we don't have gas for our tractor, we don't do the work to help feed the people around here. We are not going to use that gas. My dad looked at him and said, "But Dad, if we don't use that gas, we're not going to the family reunion today." And my grandfather, without a blink, said, "Well, then I guess we don't go to the family reunion today." And they got on their feet and walked a half a mile down the road to their other grandparents and spent the day with the other grandparents instead. And he says, "I remember that day quite well, and it was an absolutely wonderful day." Just doing what they had with what they had and making sure that they were providing for themselves. And even in the midst of some tough times that our country was facing, when it came time for the Depression, it came into the World War II. Fast forward a few years, actually quite a few years, and you're in the 1980s now, and I'm in my youth group, and we're going down a mountaintop. Mountaintop is a mission trip that we took, and it was right on the state line of Tennessee and Alabama. We were so excited. Before we got to our camp, we were at this shopping center, and right there at the shopping center, there's a big sign that says, "Welcome to Alabama." And we all looked at each other and said, "Who here has been in Alabama?" No one raised their hand. "We're going to Alabama." So we got out of the van and ran over to Alabama. And that's the one of my most favorite youth group memories, is all of us taking a picture of us standing in front of the "Welcome to Alabama" sign. I've only been in Alabama by 1 foot, but I can mark that one off my bucket list. I have been in Alabama. On to the camp we go, and that is just an incredible moment of understanding what it means to be content. You spend a week in Appalachia, and you say to yourself, "Wow, it's just amazing that this is the country we live in." And some of the people in our country live the way that they do here in Appalachia. We had a gentleman that we were supposed to paint his house, and we got his house painted really quickly. He lived in a very remote area of the mountain. And he looked at us just as serious as anything. And here it is in the mid-80s, and he says to us, "Now, I haven't seen the news in a long time. Is JFK still president?" And we were like, "Wow, now that is remote." But you know what? The man had a roof over his head. He had food on his table, and he was content. He was absolutely fine with the life he led in his one-room house right there. Now you fast forward even a little further, and you're into the 90s. And I got another wonderful opportunity to take a look at what contentment is all about. It was, I think, late winter 93. It had been late winter 93. And we're on our way. I was in the military at the time, and they needed another squad to go to Kuwait and start doing some of the work that our platoon and our company, and for that matter, our brigade was doing. So volunteered to go on that trip, and away we flew. Now, the funny thing is, the military, it can be kind of funny. I was stationed right outside of Washington, D.C., and here we are near Washington, D.C. We're getting ready to fly to New York, but we have to take a bus to the Georgia-Florida state line so that we can fly to New York and only be 200 miles from our post. We all thought that was kind of a little bit interesting, but we did it anyways. But as we got going on the flight and we joined that infantry unit that was on the flight with us, we ended up in Newfoundland refueling, so it wasn't quite so ridiculous. We get into Kuwait, and you know that scripture today that talks about it is easier for a camel to walk through the needle, the head of the needle. Holy cow, if that's the case, those camels are big. Let me just tell you, they are big, and that is an incredible thing to even think about when you think about that verse. But we get in there, and there's the Kuwaiti children as we are walking around the city of Kuwait, thanking us for still, and it's been a couple years since the country had been liberated from Iraq, but the contentment, the excitement, the overwhelming gratitude that they're showing still to that moment. And now the other piece to that trip that I remember so well too about contentment that I really had a chance to take to learn about were these folks, these men and women that came from Bangladesh. And I stand corrected. I think the last service I mentioned that Bangladesh is an island outside of India. No, it's a country right next to India. I was thinking of Sri Lanka. Thank you, Colleen, for fixing that one for me. Bangladesh is where these folks were from. And they would offer to wash your clothes, and you just tipped them. You'd tip them $20, $30, and their eyes would get this big. And you'd be like, "Why in the world? That's just $20. to, you know, to you and me, that's $20. What's that? And we came to find out that some of those folks could send that $20 to $30 back home to Bangladesh, and that would feed their family for a month. And that was just a massive appreciation of what that meant to them and what that can mean to us. Just knowing that in Appalachia, how folks lived and how those folks in Bangladesh were satisfied with the $20 just to be able to feed their families for the month. That really, really hit home to me. A couple of times there where I could learn a little bit more about contentment. Now, it doesn't stop there. I had an absolutely wonderful opportunity also to meet a pastor. This pastor was from Liberia. Liberia is a country just off the coast of, just on the western coast of Africa. They had been torn by some war and a big war there. And they were just kind of getting, at the time we were talking to them, they were just kind of getting their country back on its feet. But we had kind of been a sister relationship with this church out in Liberia, with our church that I lived, was at in Illinois. And Pastor Albert Barchu came over from Africa, and he was sharing some of his work and things. And I said to him, he says he has three churches that he preaches at. And we were like, well, tell us about that each Sunday. And he chuckles and he says, what do you mean each Sunday? He says, these churches are so remote. And some of them are, you go down this dirt road and you go to one church, you go down the dirt road, you go to another church. He says he only preached once a month in each church because it took him that long to get to all the churches. He said, for the most part, nobody has a car there. It's mostly bicycles. And he said, one of his churches in particular, he can't even, particularly during the rainy season, he can't even get his bike through the path. So he would just walk to that church. So during the rainy season, he's just walking from one church to another. And we finally got a chance to take him to Chicago. That was a fun trip. You know, he looked at Chicago and he was like, holy cow, this is not anything like you see in Liberia, to be in the city of Chicago. But we took him up to... he really enjoyed seeing what we all know as the Sears Tower, but I guess now they call it the Willis Tower. But you can kind of go up all the way, and then you can kind of step out and look at the glass floor, and you can see right down and onto the street. And he's like, oh, I'm not touching that one. But boy, we had a lot of fun. We were walking around. But for some of you, you might know what I'm talking about here when I say the word the Magnificent Mile. Bunch of shopping centers in the city of Chicago and that kind of thing. And he walked into a shoe store. He walked into a shoe store. And he grabbed a pair of Nikes and he looked at my friend Henry and I. Who had taken him up to Chicago. We took him up to Chicago for the day before he caught a flight toward, I believe it was the East Coast. And he picked up the Nikes and he says to us, holy cow. Is this the price of these Nikes? And we said, Pastor, yes, it is. He says, the price of these Nikes, that much money feeds families in our country for a month. At least a couple of weeks for some of our families a month. And it just gained another bout of appreciation for what it looks like to be content. And then to take that contentment and say, I am so blessed with what I have. Now I can turn that into being a little generous with a little bit more of what I have. Now it doesn't end just there. We had an opportunity also to go to Redbird Mission, back to Appalachia, when I was with our church back in Illinois. We went back to the Redbird Mission. And Redbird serves some of the poorest country, you know, some of the poorest counties throughout the southern Kentucky. And it's just very, very eye-opening to see this one. We had an opportunity to meet one woman. And to this day, as far as I understand, our mission team still has some contact with her. She lives in this remote area. I still don't know how I got there. Couldn't get you to her house again if we tried. But she said, you know what? I have food on my table. I have a shelter over my head. I'm in good shape. I have everything I need except for a ramp up my stairs. Can you guys build that for me? Because it's getting a little trickier to get into my house. So sure enough, we built that for her right away. Another year we went back, same thing. It was like it was in a different part of the mountain, but yet it was just really kind of interesting trying to get over this bridge, and then you took a left and you're up going up this one dirt road, and you took a right and you were up going up this other dirt road, and the next thing you knew you're at this house. And a woman said to us, she said, "Oh, thank goodness you're here. I just need a new floor for this bedroom in here." And we had no idea how flimsy this floor was. But the guys in the mission team, some really good friends of mine, one of them at that point had a son who I think he was going to be a junior or senior. It was either his junior or senior year. He was getting ready for football. He was a big kid. And he says, "Well, let's see how, you know, sturdy this floor is." He takes one step into the floor and down to the bottom he goes. And we're like, wow, you know, that floor needed to be repaired. There is no doubt about it. And my bout with contentment with that wonderful lady, we ripped that floor apart. There's absolutely nothing there, except you can see all the way down to the foundation through that room there, that floor there. And she said to us, serious as anything, she said, "Oh my gosh, this looks better already. No floor, but this looks better already." And that just was incredibly eye-opening for us. And then, of course, she was so incredibly thankful when we were able to put the floor down. I say we as if I helped too much. I'm not very much of a carpenter, so I was relying a lot on a lot of our other friends, and I was kind of helping with other kind of pieces of it. But as a team, we put the floor on there, and she was so incredibly thankful for what we were able to do. These have been different bouts of contentment that I have been able to witness throughout our life that just kind of is so much more so than I have ever been a piece of or a part of. And you know, I'm not telling you guys, I'm sure, I'm not telling anybody anything that you probably can't think of some of your own stories as you think about this. Some of you may have some of your own stories about your parents or about your grandparents, about the contentment that they showed as they were going through life and the different times that we had. And I had an absolutely wonderful story come from a lady earlier in the worship service, the first service. She was sharing just absolutely a wonderful story about contentment and how her parents were able to give to some people during the Great Depression as well. You know, one of the biggest things I can also tell you too is that you just don't realize how much you have until you actually also have somebody who hasn't had quite as much in your own house. And I think I've learned an awful lot about contentment just by being a foster parent over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. You get those children in your house that have not had as much over the course of their lives, and all of a sudden they get much more or they have it accessible. You've actually almost got to watch them, to be honest. They get to the point where it's like they have not. So now that they have access to stuff, it's hard for them to understand when to shut it off. It almost becomes like a hoarding thing almost for some. But you just step back and take a step back and say to yourself, wow, look what they have come from to behave in this such a way just because you have a little bit more. I've learned so much. Some even throughout this week, about what it looks like to be content with what we have. And what we're going to be asked to do as we go along here is take a look at our contentment, being okay with the stuff we have so that we do what that last part of that passage was all about this afternoon or this morning. And that is being generous with those things that we do have. Being okay with what we have so that we are able to be a little more generous with the things that we have. So, as we close up today, I would ask that may it be that during throughout your week, you are able to take a look at some of your own stories, some of the own things that you can think about, and some of the other examples that you have been able to see and witness through your families, through the stories you've heard, through your eyewitness things that you have seen. Because I know that I was talking about Appalachia, but right here in our backyard, we have some of the most incredible things when you've got your mission trips right here to Honduras. I'm sure that mission team could do this sermon just as easily with the things that they have seen. And I'm sure that those folks that have been on the reservations and that kind of thing could share with you all kinds of what it looks like and what it means to show such a different level of contentment. So may it be this week that you're able to take a look at the things that make you be content, so that you can take a look at also being that much more generous as we go along the next few weeks. And may this all be in Christ's name. Amen.